People of Great Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Nervous tick, wispy hair, furrowed underpants. There's been much carping by the opposition that my government is wasting too much of your money on advertising. But need I remind you that 4 years ago, we gave you 5 pledges. Original, lemon zest, ocean fresh, mountain pine and citrus burst. So to those of you belittling my government's record, moaning that you can't believe it's not better, I say, go and FCUK yourselves.
Dead Ringers, best of the year.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. Not perfumed, not coloured, just kind. Despite signs that the foot and mouth crisis is coming under control, ministers are visiting the countryside to improve communication between the government and farmers.
Right, now this informal chat is to help ministers and the farming community understand each other better. So, first, would you tell the minister about your concerns, Mr. Grundy?
Well, I don't really know if vaccination. I mean, green horses, and I shoot the thing myself.
Minister?
Yes,
blisters all over the roof of my mouth.
Is it?
And people say ministers and farmers don't speak the same language.
All White Hart Lane is tonight hailing Sven-Göran, in fact, Eriksson, as England's football saviour. Sven, let's take ourselves back to Munich last Saturday night. An astounding victory against the Germans.
Yes, John, it was undoubtedly not the worst evening I have ever experienced as I trudge wearily across this mortal coil.
Yes, but as clearly satisfying as that win was for you, Sven, tonight's hard-fought victory against the plucky Albanian 11 has, of course, lifted us to the top of Group 5. That must have left you cock-a-hoop with joy.
I allowed myself the merest flicker of a smile whilst ritually flogging myself with Birch after the game.
But surely, Sven, you'll be celebrating a bit tonight, won't you?
No, 2 weeks ago I had a thimbleful of Swedish vodka and some cold meats. That was enough, and where will it end, this thing we called life?
Sven-Göran Eriksson there, speaking for the whole nation tonight with his clearly unbridled joy at events of the past week.
Hello, welcome to Counterpoint with me, Ned Sherrin, and to show you how withered we really are, this edition is especially for you groovy hipsters, and our contestants are Mr. Shaggy, a reggae pop crossover artist from Jamaica.
You're a queen and that's how you should be treated. My blood is fully centralated. Wow.
Next, Mr. Marshall Mathers, alias Eminem, a rap chanteur from Detroit.
Dear Ned, I love being on Counterpoint. It's a sound to join them, quote-unquote, that show smells like gold. I put on my coat and vote with my feet if I see Nigel Reese. Jeez, let him rest in peace. I hate him, he's dim, but you got them, you're slim.
Most invigorating. And our third contestant is Mr. Johnson, a retired postmaster from East Sussex.
Hello.
Limp Bizkit cancelled, I gather. So, to begin this special youth edition, for 2 points, Mr. Shaggy, how long did it take Felix Mendelssohn to write his violin concerto in E minor?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
Not a very boombastic answer there, I fear. Mr. Mathers, any thoughts, homeboy?
Me don't know the answer, but don't call me a chancer. Don't call me a baddie, or I'll throw a patty, is the answer, Puff Daddy.
No. And Mr. Johnson?
I believe it took him 6 years.
Correct. And at the end of that round, I have decided to live my dream and become a hard house DJ. Everybody in the Counterpoint Nation, make some noise.
Good day. It's your old mate Rolf Harris here. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-dum. You see, all you need is a pencil and a little bit of imagination, and it's just incredible what you can do. Yeah, that's it. Just shade in a little more of the sunset there. Look at that, a real sort of outback bush scene, and a couple of little dingoes running along there. The old swag man in the back of the ute. Even a couple of flaming galahs off in the distance, like...
Mr. Harris, you've been in that polling booth nearly an hour.
Can you see who I'm voting for yet?
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, eh? Crazy name, crazy guy. Welcome to Go For It. This is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think kids are into. Dadaism, the erotic poetry of Baudelaire, and yoga. Ace. This week, from the radio archive, we've got Richard Burton. He's that alcoholic Welshman who married Elizabeth Taylor twice. And he's reading After the Funeral by Dylan Thomas, another alcoholic Welshman.
In the dark of the coffin and sheds dry leaves that breaks one bone to light with a judgment clout. In the snivelling hours with dead humped Anne, whose hooded fountain heart once fell in puddles. Bless her bent spirit with 4 crossing birds.
Wasn't that great? Ace, hey? Maybe you know a drunk Welsh person who channels the bleakness of his everyday life into impenetrable verse. If you do, write in, Ace. Hang on. I think I hear a spacecraft landing.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cromarty, the space age cat.
Yes, Cromarty is the character on this show that proves we here at Go For It have access to just as strong hallucinogenic drugs as you do. See you next week on Go For It.
I'm Trevor MacDonald, and this is the lifestyle and gossip magazine show that we call The News at 10. The Weakest Link has taken America by storm after making its debut on NBC this week.
So, America, as a country, you've hit new lows of feebleness in your pathetically short history. You're all called stupid names like Biff and Bobby Sue. And you can't even pronounce simple words like aluminium. Who's letting you down? Who is the biggest dumb fat ass among you? Who's the square peg in the Oval Office? It's time to vote off the weakest president. President Reagan, you voted for President Clinton. Why?
Arnold, I... He wasn't fit for the post. Could you remind me who I am and why?
I'll tell you why you're here, because your would-be assassins can't shoot straight. President George W. Bush, you've nominated as the weakest president of the USA...
Mr. Cunningham from Happy Days, that's right.
Do you understand the rules?
To be honest, I'm failing to understand or as the codifactored completitude of this entertainness. If you cannot expressify yourself in a more elementary fashionitude, people ain't going to understandify you.
President Lincoln, you voted for yourself. Why?
Ma'am, I could not in all honor vote for another man.
I claim not to have controlled events, but confess plainly that events have controlled me.
Well, that's the stupidest thing you've said since tonight I think I'll go to the theatre. President Clinton, you may have run the economy competently, but it seems your Republican predecessors don't like your antics, so with most votes, you are the weakest president. Goodbye.
Can you say that again?
Didn't you hear me, cigar boy?
No, I heard you. I just really want you to say that again.
Taxi, may I help you?
Yes, hello. My name is Patrick Moore. I need a taxi to Uranus, please.
Oh, where are you? That's what I need to know.
Well, I'm now currently just a few hundred yards from your office. And I need to go from there to Uranus, and I wondered how much.
How about $5?
How many?
Five.
$5 to Uranus. That is very, very reasonable indeed.
Well, just...
Do you know how to get there?
Do we know how to get there?
Yes.
I would think going south on Courtney and then making a left on Crockett and then Uranus and making a right would get us there.
I think that might. I mean, that's not the route that I'm familiar with. According to my calculations, to get to Uranus... First of all, you need to go to Ganymede, and then keep going for 6 months until you reach the face of Mars, then go straight on over the asteroid belt, bare left at Jupiter to receive the Jovian gravitational thrust, and then Uranus is approximately just 98 million miles on the left.
Oh, you want that Uranus? the street. Now we're talking some money. Yeah, we're talking some big money and some preparation time.
Now tell me, sir, do you have a pressure balanced physiology?
I'm sure by then we'll have it worked out.
We will need to have pressure balanced physiologies to withstand the gravity on Uranus.
Well, I don't know if we're going to put it down there because I don't. It's kind of hostile.
Yes?
What kind of gear? Or suit, if possibly, could be made. Freezing cold weather and the cold gases. So you have to get back to us in the next 5 to 10 years.
This is absolutely extraordinary. You know much more about Uranus than I do.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. I love the smell of Charlotte Green in the morning. Number one film at the moment is Bridget Jones's Diary. I've seen it. It was rubbish. So instead, I've been keeping my own. Brian Perkins' Diary. Monday, read the News on Today program. Smoked 3 cigarettes. Be bad. Stubbed one out on James Naughty's 3rd nipple. Be legit. Introduced myself to Sister Lavinia Byrne. Took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. Then on Monday, I had to read the shipping forecast. Dogger, good. North Etzera, bad. Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening. Brian Perkins, Brian Perkins. Oh, Brian Perkins, let me go. Beelzebub has the devil put a star for me. For me. For me. That's the end of the forecast.
I'm Fergal Keane, the grim news reaper. Doom, gloom, boom, boom, shake the room. I'm here like the dull tolling of the death knell at an especially miserable wake. This heart-rending sound is that of tiny babies. An incredible influx of infants born into a world where their sad plight will be as desperate as one can imagine. That's right. They've been born to aging celebrity fathers. In front of me, I can see the newly born babies of Michael Douglas and David Jason. Bad enough. But how much worse for this one, born this week to Phil Collins.
And this is Kate Adey, who has also witnessed that lethal combination of senility and fertility within the showbiz fraternity.
But I, Fergal Keane, the observer of outrage, the soothsayer of suffering, the marquess of misery, can say that this latest child looks exactly like his dad. But then all babies look like squashy-faced Phil Collins.
I, too, could only wince embarrassingly at the sight of Phil, age 50, creating humanity, a case of vanity verging on insanity.
All I can show you is poverty, insolvency, destitution, indigence, penury, and my brand new thesaurus.
It's a tragedy. When the feeling's gone and you can't go on, it's tragedy.
When the morning cries and you don't know why.
It's hard to bear.
With no one beside you, you're going nowhere. This is Fergal Keane.
And me, Kate Ady.
From the BBC.
Hello, and welcome to Film 01 with me, Jonathan Moss, the man with all the dress sense of a pimp, but none of the manners. With Red Dwarf, the movie currently in production, there are plans to give other BBC Two favourites the big screen treatment. Here's a sneak preview of one.
It strikes in the dead of night when you're vulnerable and alone. When you staggered in drunk after closing time and turned on the telly hoping to see some late night porn. But you've made a fatal mistake. This isn't Channel 5. This is a man with sideburns teaching you Pythagoras' theorem. Arnold Schwarzenegger stars in Open University, the movie.
Hello, it's 2:10 in the morning. And I'm going to stand in front of this blackboard with symbols written on it and talk for an hour about gear ratios.
With Alec Guinness as the man in the stained white coat.
I'm going to give you some notes now. On the periodic table. And if you write these down, your grades will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
With Russell Crowe as Maximus, the man with the chunky sideburns.
Welcome to Advanced Latin. My name is Maximus Decimus Metricus. Husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I shall have my vengeance on whoever it was who made me wear this tank top, bell-bottom flares, and a kilt tie.
Open University, the movie, where the horror doesn't end at graduation.
Hello and welcome to the South Bank Show. I'm Melvin Bragg. A second class return to Nottingham, please. Tonight we look back at the career of one of Britain's finest thespians. A man who in his day was spoken of in the same reverential tones as Olivia and Gilgood. I'm referring, of course, to Walter Gabriel. Here's Walter at the peak of his form.
I'm afraid, Walter, that Grace is dead. She died in a fire, a terrible fire, in a barn.
Oh, well, that's a shame, Dan. My old pal, my old dear, my old beauty.
Walter Gabriel pioneered the technique of placing the words my old pal, my old dear, and my old beauty seemingly at random at the end of every sentence. And in doing so, influenced a whole generation of actors. Walter Gabriel's influence on a whole generation of actors was never more evident than in this clip from the classic 70s BBC drama Elizabeth, where Her Majesty is sentencing Mary Queen of Scots to death.
Your Majesty, I beseech mercy be shown towards the Scottish Queen. She is foolish, but her foolishness is not born of malice, but of youthful cadence.
People think that I am merely a weak and feeble woman. Well, I may have the body of a weak and feeble woman, but I have the heart and mind of a king, and a king of England, too, me old pal, me old beauty.
Indeed, Your Majesty, but sentencing her to death, that won't get the pigs in.
Oh.
Hey, that's Stan.
Yeah.
Stan Boardman.
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
This is Eminem, the real Slim Shady. You know what I'm saying, Stan?
Eminem?
Eminem.
Oh, the fellow's banned off the radio, isn't he? What are you ringing me for?
Are you Stan?
Stan Boardman. Use it, Stan.
Stan Boardman?
Stan Boardman, comedian, yeah.
Yeah, listen, Stan, I heard a lot about you when I was back in the UK last time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My man Iceberg Slim, he says you kick ass, Stan.
I what? Take what?
No, he says you kick ass.
Oh, kick, yeah.
That means you're good, Stan. Oh, that means you're good, Stan. Listen, Stan,
yeah?
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah?
And what I did was, I made a song especially for you, Stan, because I'm your biggest fan.
Ah, great, that's smashing, yeah.
Do you want to hear the song I made for you, Stan, because I'm your biggest fan?
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, go on, then.
Here it comes, Stan. Dear Stan, this is Slim. I hope you don't mind me calling, but I'm your biggest fan. I love those jokes you said about the Germans bombing your chip shop. And when you went on Des O'Connor, man, that was top. All you said was vodka. But man, he didn't know you were talking about a plane. That's because Des O'Connor has orange skin, but he ain't got no brain. Anyways, you can get my letter, so that's the reason why I call. I want to see your summer season show, Stan. I want to see them all. If you don't get me tickets, I'm going to get real mad. I'll be the worst pain in the butt stalker day you ever had. So get me in a Blackpool, Stan, or maybe Scarborough, or how about South End, and I'll check out Bobby Davro. I got to see your show, Stan. Just last week, I saw Keith Harris and all of the Ducks. They suck. Dr. Dre says, you're the man. Boardman Stan. Eminem says, yeah, biggest fan. Stan. Boardman.
Hey, thanks very much. Listen, you can come to me. I'm in Blackpool next week. You can open the first show if you want.
Eminem the Real Slim Shady.
I might get some people in then.
Eminem the Real Slim Shady is coming to Blackpool.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
That's great. You should be my agent, man.
I should do, yeah. I wouldn't mind 25% of your earnings, pal.
Okay, great talking to you, Stan.
Nice talking to you, M&M's.
Thank you, Stan.
Ta-da, mate.
Bye, Stan.
Mr. President, can I be the first to congratulate you?
Hell, it was nothing. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow I'll get my other shoelace tied up as well.
No, Mr. President, I meant congratulations on your first 100 days in office.
Is it really 100 days? I can't believe that 5 whole years can pass by so quickly. And so many highlights. The Rugrats in Paris movie premiere.
Yes, sir. Oh, and I've received a telegram from Tony Blair for you.
That's very sweet. You see, that sums up the nature of the special relationship between our three countries. A bond forged because Jerry Blair and I speak the same language. Because the manner in which I and the prime number of Arabia expressify ourselves reveals a shared communality in the way we communify ourselves by our verbalocity, an oralization that's understandarized by 90% of the globalization world.
Hey, here, and there's a gift. It's got a label attached.
Let me look here. Please enjoy this life-sized short cake. Love, Tony.
Happy 100th day in office, Mr. President. Happy 100th day in office to you. This is so demeaning. Happy 100th day in office, Mr. President. Happy 100th day in office to you.
And the card says you can keep her.
You see, I, John Major, I've watched this election most scrupulously, and I cannot help but notice a pattern. Ted Heath accuses young Mr. Haig of incompetence. Margaret Thatcher defies her policy on the euro. Every previous Conservative leader has returned to haunt the party, except me. I need you to help me become the most terrifying ghoul of the lot. Mister, what did you say your name was?
My name is Gladiator.
Mr. Gladiator, that's right. I want to be a bowel-imploding, fearful, avenging demon, and thereby cause not inconsiderable consternation.
Have you worked upon the speech that I gave you?
Indeed, though with one or two adaptions. I am Johannes Magnus Mediocritus, husband to a bored wife, father to a blissfully exhausted son, and I will have some reasonable measure of compensation, either in this parliament or within a mutually agreed and fiscally prudent timescale, to be determined in the short to medium term.
You display the cowardice of a Christian faced by a lion, or a Welshman faced by John Prescott. You are a lost cause. I must go now and steal someone's wife.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Gladiator, that you're missing an afternoon tea of the highest order, featuring tea cakes with my favorite spread. At my signal, normal, unleash Nutella.
Hello and welcome to the South Bank Show. Tonight, instead of looking at my unbelievable hair, we turn to the West End stage for a look at The Graduate, now starring Linda Gray, Sue Ellen from Dallas. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, Benjamin, won't you unzip my dress?
Oh, Mrs. Robinson. You're trying to seduce me, aren't you? You get me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. And then you tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
He... J.R.
Now, what the hell is going on here, Sue Ellen? You did it.
I can explain everything, J.R.
Now, you're damn right. You're going to explain, Sue Ellen. Now, who the hell is this?
I could explain, Mr. Robinson.
Robinson? Who the hell is Robinson? Is he running that rival oil firm?
J.R., listen to me. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you for Benjamin.
Now, let me just get this straight. Now you're leaving me for this son of a gun who can't even talk properly. You see what I mean? Sounds like he's got something stuck right up his nose. I mean, who the hell has a voice as goddamn stupid as that?
And that's it from tonight's show.
You have shown great bravery, slave. What is your name?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Me old dear, me old pal, me old beauty.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who is that?
Hello? Just a moment. That shouldn't have happened. Listen, are you known on Earth as the actor Tom Baker?
Yes. Well, yes, some people know me as that. Yes. Who is that?
Yes, oh, Tom, I am the doctor. Yes.
Oh, that's odd.
Yes.
No, there must be a mistake. I'm the doctor.
No. I am also the doctor.
So you mean, I'm talking to myself?
Well, yes, we too.
Oh, God.
We too are the doctor, but more than that, we seem to be in a situation of third regeneration exact parallel opposition. It's extremely rare.
You're sure you're on Davros? A fellow called Davros calls me up and keeps asking me if I'm dead.
Yes, we defeated Davros, didn't we?
We did. Well, I did. Well, yeah, you did. Feels good, you did.
Yeah. We stand together and the Daleks are finished. It was glorious, wasn't it?
Yes. I never knew what to do about the Daleks, really, you know, because I always rather fancied Davros, you know. Yes, I did, yeah. It was that...
Anyway, I'm here in Gallifrey 900 years ago, and I'm in a situation of extreme peril. I need your help, Doctor.
Oh, really? What can I do?
Well, you see,
Is it money you need? Because, I'm not short of a shilling.
No.
What's the problem?
Well, you see, I've been put on trial by the High Council of the Time Lords for committing a terrible crime.
Oh, God.
I allowed K-9 to foul the pavement.
God, somebody slipped on the ball bearings.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly, and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.